Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And of course, if you listen to Jim this morning, you know that December 7th is a day in history that we all should remember. And saying that, I'm thinking, I know some of you listening have some memories, perhaps when you were a very young child, of World War II. And if you don't have those memories, I'm sure you have heard lots of stories from other family members. So it can be a very personal thing. But of course, as time goes on, unless you are passing on those stories or unless somebody is interested in finding out more, fewer and fewer people know about Pearl Harbor, know about World War II, know about how lives changed during that time. And so a couple of directions that I went. One was that I wanted to talk a bit about what life was like, how life changed because of the USA entering World War II. But before that, it just reminded me, shouldn't have to be reminded actually, about how much information that is available at the American Legion Memorial Building, the Armory, about World War II. Not just about in terms of history books and movies, but also actual items such as uniforms, such as shells, such as all kinds of clothing, and a whole raft of information and actual items from World War II, because people have donated those. One of the things that, if you listen to Jim's program this morning, that Clarence mentioned was the, what about movies? How true to the actual incidents are the movies? And I checked with Steve Livengood, and we do have a copy of Torah, Torah, Torah at the American Legion Memorial Building Military Library. There are also a number of other documentaries about World War II, especially. Other information is there in book form related to the Civil War, related to World War I, related to other conflicts. So in the over 2,000 items that are in the American Legion Memorial Building, aka the Armory, Military Library, there is so much information there, particularly related to the wars and conflicts. But the majority right now is World War II. Looking for other related materials to be donated. So as Steve and I visited, we thought, well, how do we let people know about those? How do we let people view those? And right now we're in the process of figuring out a checking out system, but we thought about, well, maybe we should have a movie night and just invite folks in to see some of those movies that they will not be able to see other places unless they actually go out and purchase one. So kind of listen, that maybe in the future are movie nights at the American Legion Memorial Building. And of course, we'd have to provide popcorn. So as you think back, your own memories, as I say, some of you I know listening have those memories of being a very young child, and also as you knew other people who were affected by World War II and life, thought it would be interesting to kind of review some of those things. Starting out, 1941, the war in Europe continued to dominate world affairs. And, you know, we knew that was happening. Some people were affected directly, but probably not very much so. The British Prime Minister Winston Churchill addressed joint session of Congress asking for help in the form of arms, but the U.S. still continued as normal. And two of the movies that were produced that year before we entered the war, Citizen Kane and Dumbo. And it was also the time, kind of interesting, that teenagers were becoming more to the fore rather than just being sort of, you know, children and they did whatever they were told to do. It was sort of a new revolution in terms of fashion. Teenagers were becoming fashion conscious and kind of drove the market a bit, as they continue to do now. It also drove movies and drive-in fast food was growing in popularity. That was all part of that time. But, of course, on this day, 75 years ago, December 7th, 1941, the U.S. was attacked by the Japanese at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, and more than 2,400 American servicemen were killed that day, and the American entered the war. And by the way, when we say there were 2,400 American servicemen killed, of course there were other people killed there. I had an acquaintance whose wife was killed in that attack, and she was not in the service. So, you know, we don't really hear about how that affected people who actually lived in Hawaii and, you know, were there. Of course, the main attack was on the airplanes and the ships and so on. But other people who lived there were also affected by those attacks. Sort of as a side note, what was the cost of living in 1941? The average cost of a new house was $4,075. The average wages per year were $1,750. A gallon of gas cost 12 cents. And the average cost for house rent was $32 a month. A new mattress was $39. And the average price of a new car, well, think about, you know, that in relationship to the house. Average price for a new car was $850. So cost of living certainly was different. Of course, when you compare it with the wages, it was still, you know, everything was kind of tight. And, of course, after the United States entered World War II, talking about tight, things became very much so, because soon the rationing started, and some of you will remember at least having seen ration books. So it became apparent that voluntary conservation in the home front was not going to suffice. So restrictions on imported foods, limitations on the transportation of goods, and this all due to shortage of rubber tires and a diversion of agriculture harvests to soldiers overseas, contributed to the government's decision to ration certain essential items. So on January 30th, 1942, so this was, there wasn't too much time in there, from December 7th, 41 to January 30, 1942. That's pretty quick action. The Emergency Price Control Act granted the Office of Price Administration, the OPA, the authority to set price limits and ration food and other commodities in order to discourage hoarding and ensure the equitable distribution of scarce resources. And by spring, Americans were unable to purchase sugar without government-issued food coupons. And that's when a lot of homemakers got busy and found other ways to sweeten kinds of foods without using sugar. Vouchers for coffee were introduced in November, and then by March, 43, meat, cheese, fats, canned fish, canned milk, and other processed foods were added to the list of rationed provisions. So every American was entitled to a series of war ration books filled with stamps that could be used to buy restricted items, and of course you still had to pay for them. And within weeks of the first issuance, more than 91% of the U.S. population had registered to receive them. The OPA allotted a certain amount of points to each food item based on its availability, and customers were allowed to use 48 blue points to buy canned, bottled, or dried foods, and 64 red points to buy meat, fish, and dairy each month. And that is if the items were actually available in the market. So due to changes in supply and demand of various goods, the OPA periodically adjusted the point values, which often further complicated an already complex system. But you can bet that when you have that kind of thing happening, you know, the ration books were explicitly intended for the sole use by the named recipient. A barter system developed where people who weren't using one kind of stamp would barter with their neighbor to use another kind of stamp. But what happened also were black markets began cropping up all over the country in which forged ration stamps or stolen items were illegally resold. So by the end of the war, restrictions on processed foods and other goods like gasoline and fuel were lifted, but the rationing of sugar remained in effect until 1947. And so, like I say, I know some of you are kind of recalling either being aware of that or hearing other people talk about that. Now, one of the important ways of communication during World War II was radio. You know, it, as the U.S. became more immersed in the war, Americans listened to more patriotic or war-related music. Even before the country entered the war, such songs like The Last Time I Saw Paris and Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy were very popular. And then other songs that became more popular, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition, Coming in on a Wing and a Prayer. But more than the music, radio was the primary source of news and entertainment for most American households during the war. And as the conflict progressed, people grew increasingly dependent on radio for updates on the fighting overseas. Another update, of course, was when you went to the movies, there was always the newsreel that showed the actual pictures. Now, a couple of names you may remember from radio, Edward R. Murrow. And, you know, he was the main news guy. And then the other thing that related to entertainment and the radio, Bob Hope, even though he was doing these shows across the world, they were recorded and played in America, and, of course, Glenn Miller. So, of course, the emphasis is on all of the service people during World War II, but the home front was a really, really important part of the whole effort. So talking about history, history is philosophy teaching by example and also by warning. Its two eyes are geography and chronology.